This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. It's been a minute. I'm sorry. I got that 3-week cold. Have you heard about it? It starts off with a tiny sore throat, and that tiny sore throat lasts for about an afternoon. And then you get a head cold for a week. And then just for fun, you lose your voice with your head cold. And then your voice comes back and you keep the head cold for another week. That's how it goes. A lot of people have it. So I heard my husband coughing a couple of days back, no big deal. And then later I'm at work and I got a sore throat. So I called my husband and I said, "Do you have a sore throat? Did you have a sore throat recently?" And you know what he said? You know what my husband said? He said, "Why? Why?" I said, "Honey, that's not the right answer. This is a yes or no question. Have you had a sore throat?" And he was like, "Yeah, I had a sore throat for like a minute the other day." And I said, "Well, you need to tell me these things. You can't withhold sore throat information in this tiny house. I would not have chosen to kiss you hello and goodbye for the last week if I knew there was a sore throat in the house." Oh, yeah. He knew he was sick. He didn't want to tell me. So today I went to the chiropractor. Monthly visit. Got to keep my hips loose. And my chiropractor said, "Hey, you know, I'm just getting over this cold." I said, "Has it been hanging on for 3 weeks?" He's like, "Yeah, it's a 3-week cold." I said, "Did you kiss my husband?" No, I didn't say that. I said, "I know. Did you get a sore throat for a minute and then you lost your voice?" He was like, yep, that happened. So the 3-week cold, just getting over it, feeling better. I got on the table at the chiropractor's today and the chiropractor starts talking about this surfer's book that he heard about on a podcast and he wants to buy it. My chiropractor is a surfer and a cyclist. And he said, the book is about how the surfer figured out the approach to surfing, like how to have a really good day surfing. That plan is also like a good plan for life. And isn't that the way it goes sometimes? He said the first rule is not to just jump in the ocean and paddle out. The first rule is kind of to just arrive at the beach and stand there and feel and observe and tune in to the vibration, read the room, so to speak, to get into the flow of the day. Maybe you'll stretch your body out, observe some more. And in time, you'll get the feeling that it's time to head into the water. What you're doing, my chiropractor said, is really just aligning yourself with the flow. Aligning yourself with the flow. First, recognize that the flow existed before you arrived and that you have to tune yourself to the flow. I like that. My chiropractor says he also does this cycling. If he gets on his bike and goes out on the road, if somebody cuts him off or comes too close, he'll pull over, get off the bike, breathe. Stretch his body out a bit, take a look at things around, sort of recognize the flow of the day, and decide if this is a good day for a ride or not. Check out the flow of traffic, and maybe get back on his bike and ride, or just turn around and ride home. The goal is to work with the flow, not push against it. And we talked about how when you get really good at one thing, like this author about really good at surfing, oftentimes you found a formula that can apply to many other things in life. But it made me remember about back in the day when I had a talk. I used to go around and do this little talk at libraries. It was called Everything I Needed to Know About Life I Learned on the Radio. And that talked about how when you're putting together a radio show, you need to tune into your audience. You need to think about what they're thinking about. What time of day is it? What is my audience doing? What's their flow like? Think about that. Vibe it out. And then smile. Prepare yourself. Be warm. Invite everybody in. Invite everybody in for the ride. And then, like a good hostess, plan what happens next and what happens after that. And keep it flowing while you keep noticing how's it going. Tune into the vibe. Do you need to cut back on this? Add a little more of that? Find the flow. Know where you want to go and go with the flow. Don't push against it. You can always change up at any minute. I do love that advice. And I do hope to remember to use it more. These days, my vibe is more like I wake up, I turn around, I light the fuse at the end of my cannon, and then I get shot into the day. I'm trying to slow that down now. And speaking of slowing down, I wanted to tell you about the retreat we had in March. Oh, it was so much fun. The theme was reborn. The motif was grown-up birthday party. Merriandale was packed. We had 52 women. And we talked and we journaled and we danced and we got down on our yoga mats for a sound bath in the dark. And we had late-night fireside chats. We brought our own little fireplace. And at one of those chats, we talked about what makes you feel rich. What makes you feel abundant? And we went around the room a little bit and everybody had different ideas. Some people had no ideas. But one woman said, slow mornings. Slow mornings makes me feel abundant and rich. And everybody went, ah, slow mornings. The luxury of time. Time and tea and meditation and journaling, maybe all before breakfast, right? Not getting shot out of the cannon and shot into your day. Delicious. Later, at the end of the retreat, we talked about what we'd like to do more of after we got home. And that same woman, her name is Danielle, said she'd like to be braver about putting her poetry out there. Can you relate to that, Frankenberry?
Oh, I can surely relate to that, my Casey friend, and just my writing in general, and thus the reason for my space, my spot, Frankenberry's attic. I mean, it's there for anyone to see, and I will share stuff from it, especially my poetry, though I could be better at directing more of it outwards than I am. And yes, that does involve some bravery, opening yourself up like that, but it's a step, steps, that prove to be well worth it over time.
That's right. That's right. You gotta get your poetry out there. It's easier for some than others. And you know what we talked about too? We talked about often the person who writes the poetry doesn't have the same skill set as the person who's really good at packaging it and posting it on social media, right? So the chef in the kitchen at the restaurant doesn't always run the business well. So we got to give each other and ourselves grace for doing what we can do. But if we want to get our poetry out there, we have to nudge each other. Nudge ourselves, maybe. Danielle promised that when she got home, she would post a poem. And I want to share it with you now because she posted about the retreat. She wrote a poem about the retreat. Now, hang on, I have to find this in my phone. Here it is. The poet's name is Danielle Riccardi, and the poem is called Justice. I'll give you just the facts of this weekend. I was there when I entered, bravely beginning. There were bubbles blowing in the doorway, music playing in the hall. Hardly seems like a crime scene, but perhaps there was an illicit act. The women gathered. Things were whispered and shouted. There, you'll find evidence. Scales left behind. We pulled people from the depths, and bodies were on the ground unmoving. Is it a crime to steal away? There was no cooking, no cleaning, nowhere a bed made. In fact, there was a weapon. It could have been the breath, bounty, and wisdom given from the pot of personal experience. The tear of one or another caught as it fell, collected into another's heart, into a pool of understanding. Yes, officer, I was there. It was a birthday party. Yes, it was for me and all the other women. Danielle Riccardi. Isn't that the coolest? She wrote a poem about the retreat with our birthday party theme. Ah, oh, that made me so happy. So she did it. She came to the retreat. She worked on her poem. She put it out there. And we are all better for it. That is a good one. All right. So you know what I wanted to talk about today? I keep bumping into conversations about mothers, parents in general, but mostly mothers, waiting for their kids to call them. I keep reading articles on stoic parents and out-of-touch kids. And it's just been like on my mind. Why are we torturing ourselves and each other? Call someone. Call your parents. Call your kids. Call your friends. These people that you felt out of touch with, that you might be related to them. Call them if you love them. Everything else is just manufactured nonsense in our heads. And I know that manufactured nonsense can really get in the way because it's leaning on the nerve of old wounds and things like that. And yes, the world gives us ample opportunity to manufacture this nonsense in our heads. But at some point, I don't know. We have to say there's an easier way. A simple phone call or a text could change your mood and could shift somebody else's vibe right now. I'd send them a text. If you're stewing in something, and that can be solved with a conversation, and you don't have that conversation, I completely understand that. I am not particularly brave in that department at all. But we've got a bunch of older boomer parents feeling neglected that their kids never call them. And these older boomer parents are the same people who are also saying, I'm fine. I don't need anything. Don't worry about me. Really, I'm fine. I don't know. It just seems like such a weird conundrum. But here's a thought for all of those who don't want to be a burden. Not telling the truth creates a burden. The people on the other end, they're pretty sure you're lying. And yet you've closed the avenues for them to help. You said you're fine. You've made it difficult. You've put up a hurdle. So how do we want people to respond when we say, I don't want to be a burden? How would you respond if someone said, I don't want to be a burden? Then you have to spend time convincing them they're not a burden. And is I'm fine code for something else? Like, I miss you? Or do you really mean it? Are you really fine? Or do you think you're supposed to mean it? Do you think you're supposed to be fine? Who the heck can be fine without other humans? I'll tell you who. The kind of people who are making up stuff. Well, I shouldn't be too judgmental. Let me just skip that, okay? And let me say, I'm sure many people are fine without other people. I am not particularly a people person. I can go weeks just talking to my husband and my chickens. I get that. But if there is some gunk lodged somewhere in your psyche about a relationship that could be mended or improved or lightened by a text, send the darn text. We don't even have to talk about anything. The other day, my friend ticked me off really bad. And she knew she ticked me off really bad. And I know she didn't mean to tick me off, but she ticked me off. And we didn't want to talk about it. So she texted me all that week about other things. Silly things, goofy things, little jokes. I knew what she was doing. She knew she'd tick me off. She knew I was ticked off. She knew neither one of us wanted to talk about it. She knew I would get over it. And I did, because she kept the channel open. That's like a form of an apology. She's brassy. I'm bruisy. We don't always have to talk about it, but it's nice to talk. I used to call my father and ask him how to make eggplant parmesan. He would tell me over the phone. He knew I wasn't cooking it. And he knew we had run out of things to talk about like 25 years ago. But I called and he recited. And that's the way we kept the channel open. One time, I stood on the dining room table trying to adjust a swag lamp. Yes, I have no decorating style. I had a swag lamp over my dining room table. And I called my father while standing on the table to talk about dolly screws or lolly screws or whatever the heck they're called that I'm never going to actually use. But when he passed away, I had no regrets. I gave that relationship my best. He sent me subscriptions to Reader's Digest because we really didn't know what to talk about, but he loved Reader's Digest. So he wanted me to love it too. We found a way to communicate. But what I love is my father never thought of himself as a burden or an imposition. He thought of himself as a welcome presence. He engaged in all the conversations with all the people I brought through the house in my adult life. He never thought, I don't have anything to contribute here. I'll hide somewhere. He was endlessly interested in other people and assumed, I guess, that they would be interested in him too. My friend Laura, her mother, same thing. Her mother sat at the table with us until the day she died well into her 90s. She was as much a part of the conversation as anyone else. She loved to be connected and heard, and she had so much to contribute. In fact, Alba Misali is at the heart of Let It Shine's food pantry. When she was 87 years old, I was getting ready to open a food pantry, and she told me how she stood in line at St. Vincent de Paul in the Bronx to get free government cheese. She was the youngest in the family, so the task fell to her. And her eyes filled with tears as she told me how the neighborhood kids made fun of her when they saw her online. 80 years later, it still broke her heart. That memory was like a fork stamp on the peanut butter cookie of my heart. You know what I mean? It was in there deep. I knew when I opened my food pantry that it had to be the most warm and welcoming place on earth, especially for kids. We have a basket with a sign in it that reads "Small Snacks for Small Shoppers." And when kids come in, their eyes go right to that basket and we bring it over and let them choose something. And I pray it will be a good memory for them. I don't know that it will be, but I pray that it will be a good memory for them. And thank you, Alba, for talking and sharing. And yes, my dad and Alba were certain personality types, and not everybody is that social. But I think I can say this for a lot of grown adults, older adults. We'd love for you to ask us about our lives. We'd love to know if you're still interested. I know a few grown adult children who feel completely ditched by mom and dad, and grandkids who feel a little ditched by grandma and grandpa, and vice versa. But everybody can ease this pain with a simple conversation, even if it's a pretend one, about eggplant parmesan or swag lamps. If your parents are well, involve them. If your kids are not complete jerks, call them. Don't sit and stew because they're not calling you. But listen, there are a million zillion different reasons why these things happen and why these patterns come into our lives. But my point is this, right this minute, somebody somewhere in your family or close circle, there's somebody you could have a two-minute conversation with that changes their heart and changes their day. And from that place, that new place of relief and connection, more good things are possible. So call somebody, text somebody, leave a box of Dunkin' on the doorstep or a bag of kale, you know, whatever. And for those who say they don't want to be a burden and they hide, I got to say that actually makes you a bit of a burden because we feel shut out or we have this constantly nagging feeling we should be doing something for you, but we don't know what that is or what you will allow. You feel neglected, we feel shut out, and one of us shot the other out of their hoo-hoo or donated their DNA to create you, right? It happens for real with the people we've known our whole lives. It gets weird. When do we stop communicating for real and start this weird funhouse David Lynch kind of communication where everything is confused and murky and everybody's just a little ticked off? How can someone shoot another human being out of their body and then be weird about talking to the person when they're grown? A million zillion reasons why. A million zillion reasons. And I want to offer my support to anybody going through any of this. Family's tricky, beyond just the awkward conversations. So there's the one subject where families or friends, family and friends are just awkwardly distant, and that can be fixed easily if someone takes a small step. And then there's the other thing that's all over social media lately, and that's the extreme of people going no contact. Here's a headline from the New Yorker this week. Why so many people are going no contact with their parents. A growing movement wants to destigmatize severing ties. Is it a much needed corrective or a worrisome change in family relations? I don't know. New Yorker, I don't know. Probably a little of both. I don't know. The article cites a young woman who was raised in a strict conservative household who comes home from college with new ideas about human rights, like maybe God doesn't hate gay people, and that was a non-negotiable for her mama. Sometimes the differences are too much to bear. Take a break. Love from afar. It's better than daily fights, I guess. I have relatives who have done me wrong, or I believe they have, and I don't pretend we are friends. I do not create scenarios where I abandon my heart for appearances. I just stay the heck out of their way. And if you can't get the love, support, respect, and guidance you need from your primary family, and you are well enough to be aware of that, save yourself, heal yourself. Underneath it all is a bruised or broken heart or just a completely different set of life values. Tricky stuff is business, this relationship business. Give yourself lots of grace to feel what you're feeling and do everything you can to create a safe place for your feelings. We need so many things. Right? We need the courage to be who we are and not pretend and not be somebody we're not because the toll on that is just too high. And we need the sense to protect ourselves when we need protecting and the ability to separate ourselves when we need to separate and also maybe send up a flare or a text that just says, hey, to ease our pain or somebody else's. I don't know. It's all a lot. No easy answers today. No easy answers. Just the awareness that I keep coming up against with different groups of people, the same conversation about family communication. Parents feeling neglected, grown adult children feeling sort of pushed to one side, parents stop contributing at the dinner table. I don't know what it's all about, but I think we can do a little better, but primarily take care of your nervous system. And then maybe the answer will come. Like the surfer dude, right? Staring at the waves before he paddles out. Maybe we just need to stare at this situation and vibe it out and stretch and breathe. And then we'll know when it's time to jump into the flow. Hi, I'm Casey. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, and I am so grateful that you're here. I want to invite you to our next retreat. Yes, we have a summer retreat. It's coming up July 24th through the 26th at the Center at Merriandale, and that's in Ossining, New York. It's right on the Hudson River, absolutely beautiful. Sunsets are amazing and healing and inspiring. There's a labyrinth, nature walks, there's a swimming pool. There's a swimming pool, and we all get in. The theme for this retreat, the last retreat, the theme was reborn. This theme is nourish, nourish. We are going to drench ourselves in all things healthy. Probably instead of a chocolate fondue bar, we're going to have a smoothie bar, and we will drench ourselves in nourishment, mind, body, spirit. We will have bubbles and we will have bathing suits. And you know what we're going to have? Thanks to Danielle Riccardi, we're going to have slow mornings. We're going to have mornings to meditate and journal and sleep and walk and then breakfast and then fun. So I hope you can join us. Nourish is the theme, July 24th through the 26th. And if you can't join us, join a circle of women on Facebook. I know Facebook isn't the sexiest thing in the world anymore, but our circle of women group is going strong. And right now, these days, on the Circle of Women page, we're supporting each other through some clean eating habits. We decided to take the last weeks of March and into April and coach each other out of our winter eating habits and into some lighter, healthier spring eating habits. So feel free to join the group. That's A Circle of Women on Facebook. All right, I will see you there, and I hope very, very soon again, right here, the Health and Happiness Show. Shine on.